Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of sin is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Praise the Lord, and welcome everyone tonight for our very first night of Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study. I am Evangelist Rossi, and I welcome you live tonight. This is a very exciting thing for us, because previously this was going to be Real Talk, Pillow Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study, and the concern you had is that it was too late. It was on Mondays at 10 p.m., and a lot of you were sending me messages saying, oh my gosh, I want to do this, but I'm asleep at that time. So I am so happy to have you on with me live tonight on Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study. This is where we are dealing with everyday issues that we all face with biblical perspective. As well, I will be taking your questions live on air. So I welcome you, and I want to let you know that you can learn more about me on my ministry website, rossi.org, RAWSIORG. So tonight we're going to be talking about our topic. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. And as I'm sure you know, this is a topic that a lot of times is very taboo in the church. Or if it is addressed, it's more so from a very superficial perspective where we are glossing over it. A lot of ministers don't feel comfortable talking about sex. The problem with that, however, is that all around us, sex is being perpetuated to our members, to our congregation, it's perpetuated to our young people, and whether or not we even want to really have to deal with it, sex is a billion-dollar industry. Sex sells. It sells. And because of that, we as the church have to be willing to address it. So our scripture for tonight comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28. Let's get ready to deal with that. I am in the KJV. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this is God speaking to Adam and Eve, his creation, man and woman. And God is saying to them that one of the main things I want you to do here, in addition to having dominion over the animals of the earth, is to be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, how, brothers and sisters, will they be fruitful and multiply? It won't be by osmosis, right? It will be through sexual intercourse, through sexual relationship. So in order to fulfill God's command, Adam and Eve, they had to have sex. So let's talk about it tonight. As we're dealing with sex, there's sex within the context or confines of marriage, which is how God really ordained for this to be. There's sex that we have to deal with from the perspective of fornication, which means people having sex outside of marriage, which is not how God ordained for it to be. There's sex today, more prominently and definitely more publicly, within the confines of same sex or homosexuality. So as the church, we got to be able to deal with this. Because like it or not, people in the congregation are fornicating. People in the congregation are engaging in same-sex relationships. People in the congregation are engaging in infidelity, in adultery. And sometimes these are even our people in leadership. Sometimes it's the pastors. So tonight, here with me, we're going to drill down to the nitty-gritty, because this is Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study. And I am going to also, let me say this, take your questions and comments on air. I forgot to add that part. There will be a time when I will open up for questions, or if you have a question or comment and it's just burning, you really need to get it out, you can do that at any time throughout tonight's Bible study. For those of you who are tuned in via phone, the way that you do that is just press 1 on your phone at any time, and it will place your number into my queue, the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and I will bring you on air, for example, caller number 1234. So we will never be revealing your number. You won't have to say your name, and you'll be able to ask your question. For those of you who are tuned in online, you can type your question in, and I will read it on air, and we will discuss it. So you don't have to wait on me to open up the lines at any time. Just feel free. But know the rules. Number one, you must stay on topic with your question or comment. Number two, I shouldn't have to say this for a Bible study, but you'd be surprised. You cannot use any profanity nor any racial slurs or anything such as that. Or because we'll also be dealing with homosexuality, you can't use any slurs. Remember, this is Bible study. Be respectful of others. And number three, be respectful of others in your comments. If you want to comment on what someone else said, you're welcome to do so. Just be respectful. All right, you got the rules. So we are in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And at this point, we are talking about sex tonight. So let's begin to deal with first the marital sex. Many times for husbands and wives, they get to a point where sex kind of goes on the back burner for the woman, especially if she's had children and they're in the house, they're small children, and she's working outside of the home. She just gets tired. She's doing all of these things. And so the husband, of course, or the man, he still has a sex drive that generally is more aggressive than a woman's by nature. And so he's still wanting sex. And the woman, a lot of times, is saying, I don't feel the emotional security nor the intimacy with you right now to have sex. Then what we see is that infidelity or cheating begins to occur in the marriage. And here you have the wife saying, I'm giving everything. I'm working. I'm taking care of the kids. You know, I'm carrying a heavier load at home. And all he wants to do is have sex. That's the only thing on his mind. And he's not understanding where I'm coming from. Any of you ever been there? But then the husband is saying, I'm a man, baby. This is how I function. This is how men are made, and I gotta have it. And if you won't do it, someone else will. Isn't that a sad situation to be in? And while, you know, we may want to say, Rossi, you're going too deep. We don't really want to discuss that. Why don't we? Because that's what's happening in church, isn't it? Aren't there pastors who are cheating on their wives? So if we don't want to deal with this tonight and how men and women are made differently and the infidelity in marriages, how are we going to fulfill God's command to not only reproduce and multiply, but to be able to stay together and to hold our homes together? In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 5, the Bible gives us an instruction or a principle for sex within marriage. And what he says is that the husband and wife should not withhold sex from one another without having first come into agreement for that situation. And then what I love is that Paul so understood the nature and the significance and importance of sex within that relationship that he said, and even then, except for a short time. So you're agreeing to withhold sex mutually so that one of you or both of you can go into fasting. But even then, he said, this can only be for a short time, because he realized the significance of sex so much so that if you continue to withhold it from one another, it gives a door or an open door to Satan to come in and tempt the other person. We're talking about sex tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, someone has a question or comment about this. So let me go ahead and take that comment. Someone's question here is, I'm married. So I'm reading this person's comment. I am married, and my husband has cheated. Do you think I should stay in the marriage? Wow, that is a very vulnerable question. So the first thing I want to do is thank you for even being open enough to share. And remember, folks, if you are on the phone and you have a question or comment, just press 1 and I'll bring you on air. You won't have to say your name at all, and I won't even know who you are because I'll have the last 4 of your telephone number. If you're online and you have a question or comment, type it in. This is Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study. The first thing I want to say to you, ma'am, is that the decision as to stay in a marriage or to leave a marriage for infidelity, it can only rest in that person who's within that marriage. You see, many times it is very easy for those of us who are on the outside of the marriage to give you or give someone who's going through infidelity our opinion. Girl, you should leave him. Remember, we're in the book of Genesis 1, chapter 28 tonight. Being fruitful and multiply. Sex is important. Girl, you should leave him. I wouldn't take that. And quite frankly, I, Evangelist Rossi, I would not stay in a marriage where someone has cheated on me. But you have to make that decision, not based on what Evangelist Rossi would do, not based on what your friends would do, nor your family, but based on your heart and whether or not you believe that your marriage is worth fighting for. Isn't this good teaching? You see, spiritually, you have the right to leave. The adultery opens the door for you to leave. And then legally, you have the right to leave. The adultery opens the right for you to leave legally. But only you can sit down and count up the cost of the marriage that you're in to determine whether or not you want to stay with that husband. Now, what I will say is that if you are going to choose to stay in that marriage, you and your husband must have a real talk, come to Jesus meeting, a no holds barred discussion where you really got to talk through what happened. Each of you have to be willing to put aside emotion to just truly speak your hearts. And that's very hard for married people to do. A lot of times they're in the same home but living like roommates because they don't know how or are afraid to truly communicate. But you got to let your husband be willing to tell you why he feels he cheated. And I didn't say what he said is the truth, but why he feels he cheated, even if that includes placing blame on you. Now, you're not to blame. Don't get confused what I'm saying. But you got to hear him out. And then he has to hear you out about how you feel about what he did and what you require to go forward. Isn't this good teaching? We're talking about sex tonight here with Evangelist Rossi, because you see, the devil desires to come in and take or defeat us in our marriages. And he knows that sex is so powerful. Remember, it's a billion-dollar industry. Everywhere you look around, sex is there. Sex sells. The commercials have sexual innuendo. The pornography business is a billion-dollar business. Somebody's watching it. And it's not all non-Christians. Men are leaving their wives every day, including pastors, for another woman that they've gotten pregnant or they've been having an affair with. We got to be real about the situation. So if you're going to stay in that marriage, you got to really sit down and say, look, we got to set boundaries here. After we've had that real talk to determine how we got here, now we have to set the boundaries to ensure that that situation doesn't arise again. And if your husband is not willing, glory, to deal with the boundaries, then you got to deal with whether or not he's really going to be committed to you. Because you see, an apology is not enough. We're talking about sex tonight. An apology is lip service. You want repentance. You want to see that he's repented unto God and he's repented unto you, because repentance brings remorse with it. It means the person truly has a sorrowful heart to where they're turning away from that thing, and counseling is necessary for the marriage. Now, this can't be counseling that's all fluff. You guys really got to drill down. Thank you so much. That was a great question. I hope I was able to help you. And the end result, again, is only you can make that decision. Sit down and count up the cost. And let counting up the cost include conversation with your husband, real talk, real truth, non-judgment zone, so that both of you can have that discussion. And he has to be willing. He has to be willing to immediately cut that off. All right, we're talking about sex tonight. We're talking about sex within the confines of marriage. We're talking about fornication sex. We're talking about same sex here on Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study with Evangelist Rossi, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We don't have but a few more minutes. Let me get into this word again here in Genesis 1 and 28. So God has told Adam and Eve, look, I need you to be fruitful and I need you to multiply. So what he said to them, inherent within that, is that you must come together sexually. I have ordained you as husband and wife, and I've ordained you together to multiply. So this is going to require sexual intercourse. And if God himself, think about that, ordained this, if God himself told them, be fruitful and multiply, God is letting you know that sex is an important part of the relationship, but he wants it within the context of marriage. Now, in in the book of 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, I explained to you that the Lord has spoken to us through Paul that in a marriage, you cannot withhold sex from the other spouse without the agreement of that spouse. And it should really only be for a time of fasting. And Paul said, look, don't even let that be a long time, because he understood the significance of sex and the importance of it from the standpoint that if you don't come together, guess what? It opens the door to infidelity. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible teaches us to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, fornication is when we have sex outside of being married. In other words, you're single. So, I want to say fleeing fornication is much easier said than done. Because one of the truths that we don't like to deal with when discussing sex is that sex feels good. And we do ourselves and our young people and our children a disservice when we try to act as if, you know, sex is such an unpleasant thing, because they're looking at us and they see that we have children, multiple children. They see that sex sells, and so they don't want to have the discussion with us. So sex is pleasant. And you have to be willing to deal with the truth about that thing. But the Lord has told us in 1 Corinthians 6:18 that outside of marriage, we need to flee fornication. Why do you think he said flee it? Why not just walk away? Flee it because the hold of it is so powerful. The enticement to do it. It is so powerful. It's so alluring. And the feeling of it, it is so pleasant that in order to follow God's command to not fornicate, we got to flee that thing. Now, understand, I'm single. I'm actually divorced. And, you know, I allowed Satan to take my marriage, not from any issues sexual. There's no adultery or anything. It was just me being naive and a hothead. I had a great husband. And so being single, I have an earnest desire to be remarried. And I can tell you that fleeing fornication, yes, it's hard for me. Because if I go on a date, you know, the guy wants to have sex. You know, men are wired such as they can have sex with you and don't feel a thing for you, or they can be attracted to you and they want sex right away. Sex is a natural part of any relationship for them, whether it's marriage or dating, and a lot of them want sex right away, and that even includes, you know, Christian men I've dated. And so, you know, sometimes that chemistry is strong, but I have to remember that that's not what I want to do. And for me, most of the time, it has ended my dating relationships on the first date, because the man doesn't want to commit to a relationship where he has to wait until we're married to have sex. So I have been on this journey for years, so much so that sometimes I'm just like, Lord, I'm going to go out and just marry anybody. I'm sick of this. This is real talk, right? Grown folks Bible study. So I don't mind being transparent with you. Sometimes I'm just like, Lord, I am sick of this. But when you want to be committed to God, you're going to have to work through it. And if you have fornicated, okay, then what you're going to have to do is ask forgiveness. Repent of that thing. Get yourself back into alignment with the Lord. Don't go out and condemn yourself, because there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The truth of the matter, and I love it that so many people have tuned in tonight. I hope this is really blessing your soul. The truth of the matter is that everybody's sinning, doing something. Your sin may not be my sin. And my sin may not be your sin. And the frequency in which I sin may not be the frequency in which you sin, but every day we are striving for perfection in Christ. So my goal here on Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study is not to take you to hell and leave you in hell, but rather to talk about the issues that we face every day and give you a way out using the Word of God. Now remember, our time is almost run, but if you have a question or comment and you're tuned in online, type your comment. I'll read it on air. You don't have to say your name or your question, and I will answer it. If you're tuned in via phone, press number 1, and that will put you into my queue. Again, you will not have to say your name, and you can ask your question. This is Bible study. I really want to hear from you. All right, and then let's talk about same sex, and I have a question. I'll go to that. Let me just read this right quickly. So I'm in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to talk about, we're going to start with verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even, now listen, because most people think homosexuality is only in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah of God speaking against it, but we're in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use God gave them, into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense or that penalty of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that is a mind devoid of righteous judgment, to do those things which are not convenient. So whether we're talking about adultery or infidelity, sex, whether we're talking about fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, or whether we're talking about same sex, that is sin. It is outside of the will of God. Okay, I have a question or comment here, and thank you, everyone. I'm loving this. So this person's comment says that I am gay. And I was born this way. I am a Christian. How can I stop this? I don't believe I can. Wow. Praise God. I just praise you for being willing to share that and for being honest. Let's talk about that. This is Real Talk Bible Study, Grown Folks Bible Study. We're talking about sex tonight. The first thing we want to deal with is what I just read to you in Romans chapter 1, right? That the Bible says this is turning away from the natural use of the man, if you're a man, or the natural use of the woman, if you're a woman, that God ordained. Because God has already shown us how he has ordained relationships. He's shown us based on him creating Adam and Eve, a man and woman, and telling them to be fruitful and multiply. So he's already established the precedence of what a relationship and a marriage and a sexual intimacy is supposed to be between a man and a woman. Then he has affirmed that throughout his word. In the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed due to the men having sex with men, homosexuality. And then in Romans 1, 24 through 28, God has affirmed that. So it has not been reversed. It has not been repealed. So we know it is a sin. Let's start there. Now, the next thing we have to remember is that we are all conceived and born into sin. The sin of Adam and Eve was imputed to all of us so that we are born into sin, which is why we must give our lives to Christ. and be saved, even if we're good people, if we're moral people, even if we're moral, you still have to make an affirmative decision of giving your life to Christ. And that's important because whether it's homosexuality sin or any other sin, our nature, our fleshly nature, is to war against the spiritual will of God. And that is how you have to deal with homosexuality like we deal with any other sin. Whether it's my desire, now when I say my, I mean all of us, okay? Whether it's my desire to fornicate. If I'm someone who loves sex, I might feel like I'm addicted to sex. I gotta have it all the time, every time. Or I may be someone who's addicted to doing something else in my mind. This is what I have to do. I can't stop it. Let me remind you that God's word is powerful to deliver all of us, every one of us, and any of us from any sin we are facing, be it homosexuality or any other sin. So what I'm saying to you is that the first thing you must do is acknowledge and come to terms with the fact that homosexuality is a sin. Then you must repent and ask forgiveness, like every person has to do for any sin. And then you have to place yourself in close fellowship with God so that you can walk in your deliverance and victory. Isn't this good teaching? Because this applies to any of us. When you repent of something unto the Lord, that doesn't mean that the situation is going to just somehow be removed from you forever. If you are cheating on your spouse, guess what? Your mistress or your side chick or your side man, they're not going to stop contacting you because you said, I now want to be faithful. Being faithful is an affirmative act. It is a conscious decision. Not fornicating or fleeing fornication, as I read to you in 1 Corinthians 6:18, that is a conscious decision to say that despite what I feel, despite what my flesh wants to do, I have chosen the better path. And the better path is to submit unto the will of God. Now, our time is almost up. We're about to go into prayer. And then I'm going to give you your task for this week, and we're going to end. If you have any prayer requests, anything that you want me to pray for, type that in right now, or you can press 1 and I'll bring you on the line. You don't have to say your name, but we want to make sure that we are praying for you tonight. Real Talk Bible Study. All right, I have some prayer requests here. Let's get ready and let's go into prayer tonight as we begin to deal with our sin before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We thank you tonight. Father, we glorify your name for everyone who's tuned in, everyone who's listening, Lord, as tonight we focus on your command in Genesis 1:28. To be fruitful and multiply and to deal with our issues regarding sex. Whether it be infidelity, whether it be fornication, whether it be homosexuality, whether we be the person who cheated or the victim who's been cheated on, Lord, tonight we desire to submit unto you, to live within your will, to live within your word. And Father, we acknowledge, glory, that we need your help tonight. We acknowledge, Lord, that outside of you, we can't do anything by ourselves. So we ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to do right. Help us to live right. Help us to submit our flesh unto you. Help us, Lord, to do what you've told us, because there is victory. There's benefit. There's blessing in living the way you told us to live. Now, Father, I ask you to bless everyone who's tuned in. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the field. Bless them coming in and bless them going out. Bless the works of their hands, Father. Bless their vision. Bless their goals. Father, come in and do a new thing. Work miracles. Make ways out of no way. Do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight, Lord. Everybody just say thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and give God praise. Let me give this announcement, and then I'm going to end with your assignment for this week. Just continue to praise God. Remember, Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study, is now every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's scheduled to only be 30 minutes. We went over a little bit because some people had questions at the end. But on Real Talk, we are tackling life's everyday issues with biblical perspective. And we are allowing you to give your comments because it's Bible study, not a sermon. So make sure you tune in. And the best way to make sure you don't miss it is to follow by texting the message DF for Daily Fire, because that's my morning ministry, to phone number 33222. And that way you will receive a text message on Wednesdays at 7 when we go live with the dial-in number and the link to tune in online. Again, that's text the message D as in daily, F as in fire, to phone number 33222. This Saturday, I will be speaking at a women's brunch. All of that information that you need, everything about me, is on my ministry website, rawsi.org, rawsi.org. Now, our topic for tonight is let's talk about sex. Your task for this week is to submit yourself unto God. And if you're not cheating, if you're not fornicating, if you're not in homosexuality, let's say you're married. Remember the scripture I gave to you from 1 Corinthians 7 and 5 about ensuring that you're not withholding sex from your spouse. Don't use that as a manipulation. Satan desires to have us, but God has already given us the victory. A change is coming, everybody. I'll see you next Wednesday at 7, and in the morning, Daily Fire at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's been a long time coming, but I know.